Good morning. It is a joy for me to be here. My name is Roland Banda. Many of you have met, and so you know me. And I'm going to try not to keep you on the African time, even though I see some people around here. And so pray for me, so that I can go back home with some kind of reputation of some sort. I bring you greetings from my wife Chantal, who would have loved to be here. I also bring you greetings from the Henrans and Carlsons. They sent a text message to remind me. So please receive those greetings. I bring you greetings of the Anglican Church of Rwanda. We have recently changed our name from the province of the Anglican Church of Rwanda to the Anglican Church of Rwanda, because I didn't quite know what province we were of. The church is growing, and there is a strong unity among our bishops. We are all committed. I've been privileged to be given 5 years to serve. Otherwise, according to our canons, I would have retired this month. So I still have 3.5 more years to serve the Anglican Church of Rwanda. It is a joy to be here celebrating with you this new home. I think this should be a month of celebration, of rejoicing, of singing hallelujah and praising God for what He has done for you. I'm actually not sure if you really, really cherish it and understand it. I've been a refugee boy for many years. I've been without a country. I've been without a home. And for a while, you have been without a home. And the time came when God provided a country for me. And not only that, but also provided a home for me. And life has never been the same. I always rejoice and praise God for having a country I can call home, for having a home. Here you are used to moving around. Every 2 years, some of the people will just move on and find a job somewhere else and buy another house or rent another house. It is different in Africa. Once you have a home, that is your home. And you want to stay in it as long as you can. And so I pray that will be your home until Christ comes back. Amen. And I pray that this home will be a home for many others. You may look back and almost feel like when I was a little refugee boy, or when I didn't have a home, where you had been moving from places to places, and now here you are, Jay. Amen. And here you are, members of Redeemer. It is a time to celebrate. So we praise God for this wonderful home. We have a saying in Kinyarwanda, that it doesn't matter how much and how big it is. Even if it is small and it is yours, it is yours. And it is yours. And it is your home. So we praise God for that. In a sense, you have been homeless. Now you have a home. Now, the dangers are that when you have a home, I saw this in Rwanda when people were flooding back in 1994, 1995, after the genocide. They got back into the country. Many had been away for 40 years, for 4 or 5 years, and they come back into the country, and they got so busy, everyone was thinking about himself. Everyone was focused on his own personal interests. Everyone didn't care what was happening. It was an opportunity. They had been in diaspora. They had been in exile. And now this is the time for me to think about me, to focus on myself. I pray that as you come into this new home, it will not be the time to focus on yourself, but rather to focus on what God wants you to do. Sometimes it takes a reminder. And it was our leadership that took the time to remind the people of Rwanda, yes, you have come. And some of these homes are not your homes because people had started grabbing and taking any house that was available because many had gone in exile. And they said, no, this is the time to rebuild our country. This is the time for us to rise from the ashes of the genocide. This is not to focus on ourselves, but it's time to focus on the whole nation, to build, to preach the gospel, to preach to those who are in prisons, and to see them coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I pray that this will not be the time to say, we have a home, I can relax. It is rather time to work. It is time to proclaim Christ in your community. It is time to celebrate by telling others what God has done for you. This had happened to the Jews. As they came back into their country, they started focusing on themselves. It took Haggai to come and say, no, don't forget. They had even started rebuilding the temple. But then they grew lazy. And they started thinking about themselves. They started serving their interest. And he came and he started challenging them. And he said, no. And they had started building. But as they had started building, there were some people who cherished the old days. I don't think you are going to cherish the old days of moving from one church to another. Instead, you are going to cherish the new season, the new time, a new of home. And so he challenged them. And among them, there were some elderly people who had seen the temple that Solomon had built. And when they saw what they were building, they were actually somehow depressed. They said, this is nothing. This is too small. This is not as magnificent as Solomon had built. They were the demotivators. They were the deflators. And there were some who had seen that glory. And so he started asking some questions, and he asked some three questions. And those three questions he asked in Haggai, I think they have read for us, they were simple questions. It was almost saying, who among you have the memories of the past? And it was a time of challenging and say, don't remain in the past. Come to the present. And as those three questions, actually he was challenging them. By the way, my message today to you, be encouraged. Be strong. Take courage. And so as he challenged them from the problem of staying in the past and looking in the past and cherishing the old temple rather than focusing on the new and building the new, he also gave them a message. And that message had actually three commands. And that command he gave, one was be strong. I think he must have realized that in their new place, that in the building the new temple, there will be temptations. The devil will come after them. There will be some discouragements. There will be people who will say, not me, look at this one. He's the one with means. Let him work. Don't look at me. And he said, be strong. He probably realizes they will face some challenges. Even in a new place like this, you will have face some challenges. The devil will not be happy. But you should be happy. And you should be praying. It is very easy to think that, yeah, we have now a home, and it is beautiful. It is your home. I remember when we first had our first house, we were here in the U.S., and some of you know that we have lived here for a number of years. We wanted to have some people over. It is time to have some people over. It's time to reach out in your community and just share with the people what God has done. But as you step out and try to share the gospel with the people, there will be some who will look at you and say, what are you talking about? Are you crazy? There will be others who will say, I'm not of the same faith. There will be others who will challenge you with different theologies and different doctrines. Be strong. Don't be discouraged. Trust God whom you have always trusted, whom you have followed all these years, whom you have seen at work. Sometimes I tell people, probably for me it's easy to follow Christ more than others. Because I know where I was, I know the kind of life I lived, I know the journey I took, I know the 6 months from Burundi to Kenya, I know the time I lived here at Trinity, living on food pantries, going into some of the places to see if there are some winter clothes. But I saw God's hand. I saw His provision as He has provided you over the years, as He has given you a shelter, a place to be and to worship Him, as He has provided financials that have enabled you to do what you have been able to do, to even send missionaries to Rwanda like the Henlens and the Carsons, to disciple people who are in many different places. It's likely that there are among you people who started here, who have been discipled and sent out. Maybe you were 8 to 18. I saw one of them. And now he's a priest. God has done some amazing work among you. And he's not done with you yet. Instead, he's ready to use you in whatever capacity you will allow him to do so. And among the strong command he gave, he said, be strong. But he also said, work. It is time to work. It is time to give your best. It is time to give what you can. It is not about comparing, this was Solomon's temple was like this, and now look, what is this? It's nothing, no. Give it your best, and you have done what the Lord will want from you. Maybe this is the time where Hebrews 10:24 works, where we spur each other to love one another, to love our neighbors, where we spur each other to love and to do what? To do good works. Yes, you have worked hard. Yes, you have financially contributed. Yes, you have done what you have done in order for this place to be. But let me tell you a story. We have a saying in Kinyarwanda that whoever is in the house is the one who will see where the drops from the rain comes through. So until you have been in a home like you are today, you actually don't know what work you have to do. There might be some work that needs to be done. Now that you are inside, you will be able to see the holes. You will be able to see what is needed. It is not a time to say, that is a Kinyarwanda way. I don't know how you say it in English. It is not time to say, yeah, I can sit in my lazy boy now and relax. The Lord has given us a home. No, it is time to look and say, that place needs a little touch. That place needs a little desk. That place needs a little paint. Yeah, it is time for us to go out and to witness to the people and to bring them into the house of the Lord. That verse of Hebrews 10:24, it actually says, let us spur each other, provoke each other to love and to do good works. And he says, as we see that day coming, which day? The return of Jesus Christ. And if it is to spur, if it is to provoke, I like the Kinyarwanda word that we use, actually says, is to provoke. When we were young boys on the streets, sometimes we'll take some sand and you put it on the back of your hand. And you go to one boy and you tell him, yeah, he's bigger than you, he can beat you. And the other one says, no, he can't beat me. And he said, if you think he won't beat you, why don't you break my sand? And then he drops the sand down. And then you turn around and say, hey, pay me back, give me what you sand. It is provoking. Maybe it's time for you to provoke each other to reach out to others, to love each other, to serve the Lord. It is time to provoke, to proclaim the gospel. Why? Because that day is approaching and you want as many to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and come into the kingdom. You don't want anybody to perish. But when you continue also, you will see that not give up to come together in fellowship. Why? Because that is where you grow. That is where you grow. Be strong. It is time to work. Get ready. And the third one is an exhortation, the teaching that he says. He says to them, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It is the same God who has provided the home, even though you have moved from one place to another. It is the same God that started this church to where it is today. It is the Jehovah Jireh who has provided. He will provide again. So don't be afraid. And in challenging them with the don't be afraid, the fear not, he actually gives them some promises. He says, you know what? There is something that I'm going to do for you. I'm not done with you. And he actually tells them, look, Christ is coming. And there are many people who love him and desire him, the desire of the nations. That's what it says here. And I believe that that desire of the nations is Jesus Christ himself. And how shall they hear without a preacher or a teacher or an evangelist? I think God is sending us to go out into this community and tell them the good news of Jesus Christ. Introduce yourself as new people in the community. And when you serve him faithfully and remain faithful as you have been and give yourself to him and to the people in the community, there will be people who will say, this is the church I want to be part of. And if anybody would even try to come and say, this church is making noise in Rwanda these days. There is what they call noise pollution. And if people complain that this church is making noise for us, they can shut you down. They say you have to keep the noise inside. But let me tell you, when the neighbors have been served by the church, they are the first ones to defend you and say, no, 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 no. Let them operate. Let them continue. Why? Because they have seen your witness. Because they have seen your conduct. Because they have seen how you live and how you behave. And they say, these are godly people. I wonder what this community will say after you have been here for a few months or a few years. Will they say, this is the church? Even that parking in front, we give it to them. Because for now it is not yours, but you can use it. And then he says, it's not the desires of the nations alone. He says, don't be afraid. And sometimes what makes us afraid, I don't know here, is the financial responsibilities. And he says, you are wrong. Because the gold and the silver and everything is whose? Is mine. So you may think it's yours. Maybe you are a trustee for now. But it is the Lord's. And if it is the Lord's, you should be grateful and thankful for trusting you with that wealth or whatever he has given you. Because there are people who do not have it. And if he has given it to you, it's for his use and for his glory. But even if you didn't obey, he still says, the silver and the gold is mine. Which means, trust me, I will provide. And I have experienced that personally. Where God has provided. Way back when I was in seminary up here, I went to the mailbox. And it had been 3 months, we had not had any money at all. And actually, I was not going to be able to register for the next term. And I told my wife, I said, I think this is it. And we went to then Professor Tedward, Dr. Tedward, and we told him, and we said, I think it is time for us to quit. And he said, don't do it yet. And a person in Deerfield opened their home for us to go and live with them. We were there for 9 months. But as I was walking back and going to the post office, to the mail room, as they called it then, I got an envelope. And this envelope was coming from back home. And my father-in-law had sold the little car that I had left. When I left, I wanted to sell it for $1,800, but he had sold it for $3,000. And the money had come. It was Christmas. It was a celebration. It was the Jehovah Jireh who had provided for us more than we expected. In fact, we had given up because it had been 3 years. And that pushed us a little bit. It was God's provision. A few weeks later, we were staying with this lady in Deerfield, and we got a phone call. And the person said, I have some good news for you. And so we take the phone and said, somebody had provided $20,000 so that you can continue and finish school. Now, $20,000 coming from Africa, I had never heard about that money, but I went quickly to a calculator and I tried to convert it in Rwanda and Burundi currency where I came from, and soon I realized I was a millionaire. And so I said to my wife, it's time to go back. Why spend all this money here? We can go and do business and do something. And she looked at it and she said, no, I want to go very far. She came from a family where they had money. And for me, I had never heard of that. In fact, on the phone, I said, how many zeros? And I took my pen and I started writing. And sure enough, it was 20,000. It was the most difficult time to think about giving this money to Trinity. Because I thought I could do something with it. But the donor had said, we want you to finish school, and we wanted to honor that. And thank God, God chose to provide this way. You may say, that is you, what about me? Maybe God has provided in a different way. But even you being here and sitting here with us is something to celebrate. Because there are people who have not been able to be here. or who are not here today. I always tell that I'm living on a bonus because my father died when he was 58. And I'm now 65. And I have much to praise God for, that I have lived to be that 65. Now, here you are saying, okay, difficult, but in Africa, oh, that is celebrated. It is celebrated because life expectancy is 50-something. In some countries, 40-something. In some countries, some are living on a bonus. God promises that your future will be even better. That His glory will fill this place. I think it's time to be prepared for what God is going to do and for what He's ready to do. I'm looking for that verse in the last one, actually. No. In that Haggai passage. Where is it? Yes. Thank you. Let me read it for you. This is what the Lord Almighty says: in the little while I will once shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and dry land. It will shake all nations. And what it desires by all nations will come. And again, I mentioned that what is desired by all is Jesus. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord, the Almighty. I think we should expect some blessing from the Lord, that He will fill this place with His glory. It will be a place of peace, a place of worship, a place of love. Don't worry about the resources, because He will provide them. So as I finish, let me challenge you to come and be blessed, to come and be loved, to come and be challenged to serve, to come and be challenged to reach out, to come and give to God your best. And He will be honored. It is a pleasure to be here this morning with you. Oh, how I pray that the Lord will use you. So if you are visiting and this is your first time here, I think it's the first time for all of us, isn't it? If you are visiting and not attending this church, I sat in these chairs and they're really nice with a little cushion. Let that chair be yours. Claim it. Come again. And fellowship and worship the Lord in this place. If you had been part of this and are no longer, maybe this is a time to reconsider. Because there is a home. Sometimes I have my children, they live here in this country, and I live in Rwanda with the family, but they still say Rwanda is home. Even though they were born here and never lived in Rwanda. Well, maybe if you have ever been part of this church, this may still be your home, even if you are somewhere else. Let those memories, let that nostalgia bring you back to encourage, to love on, to pray with, to support, and encourage people for the proclamation of the gospel. May the Lord bless you as you remain faithful to Him, as you be strong for His work and for His ministry. as you get on to work, and as you trust him and not be fearful of what the future holds. May you be available to him for his use. May you continue to celebrate this new press. Let God use you as he sees fit. Thank you for the contributions you have made to make this place what it is. I also build. I've been building. I'll be surprised if there isn't needs that needs to be met. And if there isn't, there will be in the future. So pray for God to continue to bless, to continue to provide for his place to fill, for his glory to fill this place. Let us pray. Our gracious Father, you know our hearts. You know why we are here. Oh, how I pray for those who have accepted you as a personal Savior to give you praise and glory for what has happened in their lives, for what you have done in them, and for what you are doing through them. I pray that they will continue to grow and grow closer to you, Lord. I pray for those who do not know you, that they will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Maybe this is the day. So I pray, Father, that they will open their hearts to receive and just pray a simple prayer. Lord, come into my heart. Lead me. Be my Savior. Forgive my sins. I want to follow you. And for those that have, Lord, been a little bit too far from you, how I pray that this event, that this celebration will be time to say, Lord, have your own way in my life. I want to draw closer. And I want to be used of you. I pray, Father, that as we celebrate this new home you have given us, this place of worship, that your presence will be felt among us and around us. For your glory, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.